With that soft pronouncement, Jehovah closed his eyes again, exhaustion in his face, for all the world like a great-grandfather roused in his sickbed by descendants squabbling over inheritance, eager to return to the higher thoughts of one near death. I approached him with a tray of food and told him he should eat, for he had once again lost track of time. He took the food and thanked me, and asked if his Dominic had seemed well when I saw him. I answered that he had. Next, he asked me whether I thought it was cruel to let angelic intelligences mix with human intelligences, long enough for each to learn how the other category's consciousnesses experience a different kind of independence from their God. I did not have an answer. "What means this vagueness, Mycroft?" he asked. I answered. "Can this lazy paraphrase be that same Mycroft who has hitherto stated the precise language of every line with such care? Give me the words. What tongue does the polyglot J.E.D.D. Mason use with thee, Mycroft, and thou with him?" What tongue, curious reader? All of them. This desperate being uses all his senses, all his words, our French, our English, Latin, Spanish, Greek, all mixed together to weave his nuance, which translation cannot possibly approximate. "If the Prince d'Arway says there are no liars," Duke Ganymede declared, "there are no liars." "Good." Kosala squeezed her Comte déguisé close as they settled together upon their couch. "I'd hate to have a traitor among us. Thanks for proposing that, Cornell. I feel much better now." "But who did it, then?" the Duke asked first. "The Utopians?" "No." The Emperor's response was instant. A scowl's shadow dimmed Ganymede's perfection. "I'd like to hear those words from someone who wasn't in love with Apollo Mojave." He waited, blue diamonds flicking from face to face around the silent room. "That is, if there is anyone in this room fitting that description, apart from the Prince d'Arway and myself." One by one, the Emperor, the Anonymous, the King, the Chair, the Headmaster, even the Director failed to meet Ganymede's eyes. He did not even glance at me. "I think I was considerably less in love with Apollo Mojave than most," Madame volunteered. "And I don't think this is something Utopians would do. Not as politics, or as a prank. It isn't," she groped, "future-oriented enough." "It's true," Kosala agreed. "They don't care about the 710 lists, or the next election. They only care what happens 200 years from now." Duke Ganymede rolled over onto his back, and all within the room, Jehovah excepted, leaned forward to savor the spectacle. "But have we actually heard them say they didn't do it?" he asked. "If I may speak, Your Grace," I petitioned, though I knew the shadow my intrusion would cast over the company. "What is it, Mycroft?" I dug my fingers into my habit's rope belt, since here I had no hat with which to fidget in my nervousness. "I talked to a Utopian today, one who would know, and asked that very question. If a Utopian is involved in this, then even the constellation trusted with their most sensitive project doesn't know about it." Madame stroked Mason's black hair gently, as one does to calm a snarling hound. It was not I, but Ganymede, who had dared pronounce Apollo's name. But the hate still burned in Mason. Eyes which had endured the testing of the successor moved almost to anger tears. "I speculate sometimes how best I might die when the time comes. There are many with the moral right to take my life. But Caesar has suffered more than anyone. Not just Apollo's loss, but the agony of suppressing his rightful rage when he could kill me any hour, any day. If I can gift my death to anyone, it will be Cornell Mason." Headmaster Faust is an avatar of curiosity. "What project would that be, Mycroft? What constellation?" Cultural preparations for Mars, I answered without actually lying. That they accepted. The outsider, then? Chair Casalis suggested. Ando was first to answer. No. Why not? Because the outsider knows nothing about anything, and Europe gains nothing from doing this. She leaned against her anonymous. We're running out of logical suspects. Either one of us has a subordinate who's betrayed us, Casalis' eyes strayed to the King of Spain, or it's the Utopians, or the outsider, or something else entirely. I think, Spain voiced mildly, I think it's time we brought the outsider in. I asked myself, reading this over, why I describe the King of Spain less vividly than all the others. In truth, he is less vivid. Always restrained and stately, trained from infancy to do nothing he could not be seen doing on a coin. I think misfortune, too, has made him quiet. He who alone among the circle joined more out of necessity than choice. For when Her Majesty the Queen was institutionalized, where could our unlucky monarch turn, whose strict office permitted neither divorce nor a common affair, except to this professional king's mistress, unrivaled in the arts of secrecy? He has a conscience, this king, a fierce one, whose gnawing pains him like an illness. Since his queen's death, I have personally witnessed 5 of his attempts to set things right and persuade Madame to become his lawful wife, but Madame always has Caesar holding her other hand, and so the widower must wait. Bring the outsider in, Danae cried. Over this? No, no, Your Majesty, this is a petty thing. All this will pass. The outsider will be nobody again at the next election. We don't want to be saddled with them after that. As you are saddled with me now? He asked. Her eyes filled at once with sparkling tears, enough to make both her husband and brother hot to comfort her. Your Majesty, I didn't mean... Spain saved her from finishing. Paris will win the next election. Only the anonymous was not stunned too much to ask, why do you think that? Because Paris has seduced the Prince of Asturias. Duke Ganymede actually choked at the news. You must be kidding, Spain. That upstart has sunk his fangs in Crown Prince Leonor Valentin? He looked to Madame as if she and she alone had the right to approve such matches. I don't know if there is sex involved, or merely money and corruption, the king replied. But Barry's alliance with my heir is quite complete. At the next election, if I do not run, the prince will campaign in support of Paris. If I do run, Paris will expose the prince's involvement in certain inappropriate activities. And that, combined with my embarrassment from the last election, will likely end my family's part in politics for the next 2 generations. We shouldn't invite him in, we should crush him, Danae seethed, forming fists, her porcelain fingers clutched in fragile balls which could never strike a real blow. This affront is outrageous, and against such a venerable line. Madame, you must agree we should ally and crush this offender. Madame's fan could not hide her painted brow, which wrinkled around eyes bright with calculations. Certainly, dear child. We could do as you propose. But if that were what His Majesty wished, he would have asked it. Is that not so, Your Majesty? The king nodded. Paris has not done badly as Prime Minister. Europe is doing well. If Paris has chosen this somewhat underhanded method to remain in office, it may simply be because they know they face a rather unfair alliance on my side. I know that you, my friends, could and would crush Paris if I asked. But I have neither the moral right nor any desire to crush a perfectly competent politician just because we are competing for the same office. And if Paris isn't as benign as you imagine, you will be surprised, reader, to hear that it was Briar Casalla who suggested the dark option first. The world's mom may be the most forgiving, but she is also most vicious when family is threatened. What if Perry was behind fixing the last election, too? Planted Zeven Racer on your staff to sabotage you? Cornell Mason nodded. Sugiyama's 710 list has drawn fresh attention to Zeven Racer. To your embarrassment, Spain. I wouldn't rule Perry out as a suspect for Black Sakura just yet. The king accepted their counter-arguments in gracious calm, as when he hears out all his ministers, though his decision is already made. All the more reason, then, to test them. It would be easy to arrange, Madame took over. Perry has been a mid-level member of this establishment for 6 years now. No one could advance so far in politics without some help from here. Are they addicted? The anonymous asked first.
Oh ho ho!
Headmaster Faust laughed like a merry giant. As addicted to the ladies as you are, Déguisé? No offense. He smirked. But the anonymous has long since reconciled himself to the power petticoats and coquetry have over him. Perry's here twice a week, at least, the headmaster continued. Fond of the Salon Cleopatra, and I omit here, reader, details, both lewd and brillist, which are not pertinent to this history. Whatever his other accomplishments, Felix Faust is an unparalleled voyeur, and quick to forget Danae's presence at this opportunity to demonstrate his knowledge. I've seen Perry in the sex-free sections of the middle level, too, he continued. The dueling ring, gambling rooms, the dance hall, wooing the ladies. That little blonde especially, Clara, is that her name, madame? Wooing as if to wed. Not that one can blame the wretch for wanting some way to be satisfied at home, eh, Ando? The director did not acknowledge the jibe. Has Perry made you an offer yet, madame? Faust asked. On the bride? Yes, but it was several millions short of acceptable. Clara is a true jewel of this bash, and Perry has little in the way of funds, though they are growing. Perhaps, reader, your stomach turns at calling this a bash, much as it turns at thinking of the ample payment the birth bash of Sidney Coons received for sending their infant off, first for set-set rearing, then to be Eureka's partner governing the cars. But if you turn nurturist on us, distant reader, Caesar will fight you through every generation of the empire. That makes things simple, the king continued. I propose a meeting. All of us with the outsider. Here, where such things are untraceable. If Perry is, as I hope, a good person, like ourselves, then we can reach a compromise, wherein either Perry or myself will accept a different office, perhaps in Romanova, in return for Perry's admission to our circle and our help securing their desired bride. If, on the other hand, Perry is the villain some of you suspect, then Epicuro will soon unmask them, and we can crush them in good conscience. Spain smiled at Jehovah, as he called him by the name His Majesty himself contributed to the prince's list. Briar Casulla pulled her lover's arms more firmly around her. Your Majesty, exactly what degree of inclusion do you imagine for Perry? Our little company here is more than political. The Comte Déguisé seconded with a nod. I imagine it as a strictly political gathering at first, and each of us will see in time whether we become comfortable sharing more. Danae hugged her brother closer, as if he were her knight in dark days, or her teddy bear. I don't like admitting someone who would think to threaten His Majesty, but a horrid mind. Hotaka Ando Mitsubishi wrapped a comforting arm about his wife's shoulders. It's all right, Danae. I've met with Perry many times. They're inelegant, but not offensive. I support the idea of their political inclusion, and we can make very clear that it comes with no expectation of sharing other things. He reached deep under Ganymede now, and the Duke President's eyes lost focus for a moment as the hidden hand touched home.